chapter 2, 1 through 4. I'm sharing this word today as a way to encourage you and inspire you. And there's so much in-depth teaching that we'll get into about Pentecost and what it means for you and I and all of that. Today will probably be more of a message than it will be a teaching as last week was. But I'm sharing this with you because I really believe that the enemy should not have, I'm sharing this with you as sort of a prophetic declaration that the enemy should never have messed with your mind, that the enemy should have never have messed with your purpose or your family or your peace or your joy or your finances or your marriage, but that everything that the enemy has messed with, you're going to get it back again. I want you to really hear me today, that everything that the enemy has met, I'm trying to stay put as much as I can to make Lois's job easier back there, but everything that the enemy has messed with, you're going to get it back again. I want you to hear me, that this has everything to do with Pentecost. This has everything to do with what I see in the Word of God today, that God is desiring to ignite something within you and I. Through all of this going on with the virus and all of that, and I don't want to even preach about it because I know many of us are just sick and tired of it. But I really believe that God is using this. You've heard me say many times that not everything is God sent, but everything is God used. And I really believe that through this, that God is wanting to ignite something in His people. That God wants to ignite something in you and I. That God wants to do something brand new. The word ignite literally means to provoke suddenly. God is trying to provoke the church. And I really believe that so much of the church hasn't listened for so long, and God is now provoking us suddenly. God is provoking us suddenly in our lives. And He's doing that by ushering you and I into a brand new season. You heard me say that a few weeks ago, that we've entered into a new season. Not just on the calendar, not just spring, but I mean on the calendar of God, in the midst of the kingdom of God. I believe we've entered into a brand new season, and God is provoking us suddenly. God wants to demonstrate and bring about in our lives a divine turnaround, something quickly, something suddenly. Even I said the other week on an impromptu live video when I was teaching some of you who may have heard it, that when the Word of God says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that our testimony means evidence. That God wants to move in such a sudden way, in such an instant way in our lives, that we produce evidence for those around us that can say, that had to have been God. I know what they were going through. I know what condition they were in. So it had to have been God. That God wants to provoke some suddenlies in our lives, some things that will happen fast, some things that are going to happen quickly, instantly, in this moment, during this time, even this morning, that others will stand back and say, I know that that had to have been God. I know there was no other way. And so that brings me to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 4, I think. Maybe we'll jump down and check out another verse. Hallelujah. Check this out. It says, when the day, you know it well, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a whole lot there we'll unpack over the weeks to come. All right. But I want to jump over to Luke 6. Believe it or not, I'll pull it all together. Luke chapter 6, I'm just going to read four verses there, verses 6 through 10, try to capture the heart of this text. Now it happened on another Sabbath also, as he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. My, my. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he could heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy. And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Some good stuff here that we're going to dive into, and I want to move as quickly as I can. I'm sharing this with you today, just as in Acts 2, just as in Luke 6, that God desires and wants to bring forth and do a suddenly in your and I's life. I've done some teaching over the years on and some messages even about a suddenly, even about sudden things that God desires to do. But this word today is different and it is unique because I believe it is specific to the time that we are in right now. God wants to do something suddenly. When the Bible says that they were in one place in one accord in Acts 2, and suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. That word suddenly means a dramatic, powerful move of God. A dramatic, powerful move of God. So when I'm saying to you today at home, relaxing, chilling with your coffee, eating a donut, having your breakfast, whatever it is that you're doing, I want your spirit to hear what I'm saying to you today, that God wants to do a suddenly in your life, meaning God wants to do something dramatic. God wants to bring forth a powerful move of God in your life. So those of you that have been praying and sending in prayer requests, and those of you that have an ear to hear today, you're bearing witness with what I'm saying. You know that God wants to do something right now. He wants to do a dramatic, powerful move of God. Dramatic. Comes from a root word in its original form of the word contraction. Now, when we think of contractions, we immediately think of a woman giving birth. Sometimes that contraction will bring forth a little pain. But what contraction really means is to be shortened. The whole purpose of a contraction is to shorten labor, to bring about an end. Now, some of us have been experiencing contractions in this life, a squeezing. Man, have we ever. Where things have been contracting and you've been getting frustrated with it. You even get irritated with it. But what you need to be able to have an ear to hear is that the reason for it is that God has been trying to bring a shortening to the season. God has been trying to end the toil. God has been trying to end the pain. So in other words, what could take a long time, God's saying he wants to be able to do in a short time. He wants to bring it about in your life quickly. He wants to bring forth a suddenly. That word suddenly is from a root that also means to wink, as in an eye. Twinkle of an eye, or instantly. So think about it. When God says he wants to do something suddenly, as happened on the day of Pentecost, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one place and one accord, praying. And suddenly, as in a twinkle of an eye, right? As in a contraction. Now, remember, leading up to this point, after Jesus has his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, there were some contractions happening in the body of Christ. Some pain, some discomfort, some growing pain, so to speak. And all of this was going on to provoke and bring about this powerful move of God, the day of Pentecost. So much of what you and I have been experiencing has been contractions, if you will, that it's been provoking and bringing forth this change or this move of God. What God wants to accomplish in you and I right now, what is going on in our nation, whether it's you watch the news or what's going on with the virus or what people post on social media or the condition or the state of the church, there's been contractions going on because it's attempting to provoke a suddenly. I firmly believe that God wants to bring forth a mighty move of God, something instant, something unexpected in our life. So in other words, whatever has been trying to destroy you, whatever has been trying to derail you and I's destiny, whatever has been messing with our mind, whatever's been disturbing our peace, whatever's been messing with us in any way, the hand of God is about to restore to you and I suddenly. I want you and I to receive that word today as I declare to you. Whatever has been happening to you, whatever's been messing with your mind, whatever's been messing with your finances, whatever's been messing with your health, whatever's been messing with your relationships, whatever has been derailing your destiny, whatever's been dealing with you and hindering you in any capacity, in any way, you hear the word of the Lord that the hand of God is about to restore to you suddenly. Suddenly. This is where I really miss a congregation where they can begin to say amen and shout and get on their feet and give God a hand clap of praise, because you and I need to receive this word today that whatever has been messing with us, whatever has been hindering me, whatever has been causing me nightmares, whatever has been causing me to lose sleep, whatever has been causing you and I to walk in fear, whatever has been messing with us in any way, in any capacity, the hand of God is about to restore to you and I suddenly. And I say that specifically today for a reason that we're going to get to. That the hand of God is about to restore it to you and I. Hallelujah. Whatever area that you've been in lack, that's why I don't hesitate to believe God. I said right before the message, I'm believing God for a certain dollar amount for that school. It's going to take somewhere between $1.2 and $1.5 million to complete it. But I'm asking God for an amount for this year. It's not even a large amount. I'm asking God for that amount. Why? Because I know that the hand of God is able to do it and do it suddenly. I share all the time that our church has been and has continued to be, since its inception, a ministry that operates off of faith. Something my spiritual father has always taught me. I'll never forget it. We were in a difficult time and he was challenging me to do something extreme to motivate the people. He said they sort of gotten comfortable and complacent. And although I didn't do exactly what he said to do, we ended up motivating them. And over the years, everything that we believe God for and not going in debt for. Our first building was given to us, and we used it for, 8 years? And then we were looking to expand and grow, and we almost went in debt hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy a building, and God said no, and then God gave a building. God gave the school. And when we began to do construction, then we needed lawnmowers, and God gave a lawnmower. And then literally a brand new one someone stepped up and bought. And then we needed another one because of the workload and how many acres it is. And so then God spoke to somebody else, and they bought another one. And on and on and on. I could go down the list every time that we needed something, every time when we bought our first sound system, how God provided. And when we put carpet in our first building, we never had to worry or fear. We took up an offering. Every time, every step of the way, we've always been a ministry of faith. Then when we were needing to move out of our very first building because of circumstances had changed and things were going on, and we were looking to go elsewhere, and then this building was given to the ministry. And we didn't just get a building, but we got everything in the building. Pianos and sound systems and drums. Now we've got duplicates and triplicates of everything. We've been able to give and help other ministries and help other people and bless people. When we needed to go on TV because the TV station had reached out to us and they saw us airing online and we did a new camera, I thought, well, Lord, we can't go on TV with a rinky-dink. God spoke to somebody to buy a TV camera. You know, over and over again. Those are just a couple of examples. We've always been a ministry of faith. Believing God, trusting in Him, and not trying to go in debt. And so when I share to you today that whatever has been destroying you, attacking you, tormenting your mind, that God is about to restore it to you by and through His hand, I'm telling you, I want you to receive it today. Because just as we've been a ministry of faith, just as we've seen God provide every time we had a need and God provided, I want you to receive that to be your word today. That the same God that is taking care of this ministry and speaks to people's hearts, and I never, someone told me yesterday, they said, made a joke about something about how I get online and I beg, they said, you get on there and you talk like this and then you tell them people to give and they give. I said, I'll have you know, I never have to get online, Facebook or TV otherwise, and beg people to give. There's not times I don't want to in my flesh because I see a need and I'm thinking, Lord. But I said, we've never had to do that. Never. Not that we're sitting on lots of money in the checking account. Don't get me wrong. It's just I've never sensed that God needed us to do that. Because I believe that God is big enough on his own to speak to your heart. Right? He's big enough to tell you of the need before I ever even utter it from my mouth. I believe that. And so the same God that answers and meets our needs and does for this ministry and demonstrates his power, the same God that has allowed this ministry to feed and to clothe 6,400 people since January and makes that possible is the same God that's providing for you right now. The same God. And so what I'm saying to you and I today is that your season has shifted. And everything is about to come in alignment with God's purposes and plans. Listen to what I'm telling you. Your season has shifted. And everything is about to come in alignment with God's purposes and God's plans. We know that God is the dispenser of all seasons. What is a season? A season is a set time. Here in Western Pennsylvania, and I say that because not everybody who watches is from here. We get a lot of people who connect with us from Australia, now the UK especially, China. And not every place that people watch do they have seasons like we do. They have them, but their winter is not like our winter. And what a season is it's really means a set time. We entered into spring just a few weeks ago. It was a set time on the calendar, a set season that's already pre-planned and predestined for you and I. And we know what to expect in the spring. Things begin to turn green again. Things begin to grow again. The signs of new life. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4, "Then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." Notice it says that he will give you rain in its season. You know what rain means? Rain is always always means blessing. Look what God is saying there. I'm going to give you blessing in a set season. So I told you that your season has shifted. Your season has changed. I believe this. I can sense it by the Holy Spirit that our season has shifted. And just as it says in Leviticus 26, "Then I will give you rain in its season," or "Then I will give you blessing in its season." So many times we're wondering, when, God, when? I want you to have an expectation today that now is the time. Now, just like the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Now, right now in this moment, God is a God that is moving right now, that your season has shifted now. It is shifting right now, that this is a season. And today out here, it's raining. And I was driving in thinking of this word, and I thought, Lord, I just thank you that it's your blessing. It's your blessing coming down on us. The other night in one of our Facebook Live videos, I was just singing and worshiping the Lord with all of you, and we were singing that old song, "Let It Rain, Let It Pour From Heaven." We need your rain. We need your streams of refreshing, right? That it is his blessing. It is his blessing. And so today I was just worshiping God. It is a blessing to the earth. It's what allows the earth to grow and things to become green and grow. But there is a rain that we're speaking of in the Word of God, that it is his blessing. You have entered a season of blessing. I want you to just receive that, accept it, acknowledge it, and hold on to that today and say, God, I've entered a season of blessing. It is raining. Yes, even when it's raining outside, just let that be something that even speaks over your life almost prophetically, where you just say, Lord, I thank you for the rain today, that did something in the natural, indicating what's happening in the spirit, that I'm being blessed even right now as the rain is falling on the grass and over the trees and all over the earth. God, I thank you that it is raining today in my life, that I've entered a season of blessing. Hallelujah. God has a set time for your and I's blessing. It's a set time for things to come into an alignment. It's sort of been like things are out of alignment in our life. I don't know if you've ever had a car that's been out of alignment, but my Lord, you get a car that's been knocked out of alignment and you're pulling the wheel one way and the car's trying to go to the other and it's a lot harder to steer. And yet that's so often what our lives are like with God. When things begin to get out of alignment because of what the enemy's doing or because of what we did or because of where things got misaligned in our life, we're trying to pull it one way and it's trying to go the other way. God's trying to pull us one way, but we're wanting to take it another way, and it's difficult. It's difficult, but God today is speaking to our hearts saying, I'm trying to bring everything into an alignment. And I believe that your spirit, if you have an ear to hear, your spirit is acknowledging what I'm telling you today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season. One of the things I've learned about God is that his purposes are regulated by seasons. So in other words, our usefulness to the kingdom of God is based on our commitment to purpose, and purpose is regulated by seasons. What am I saying? That God is cyclical. God is a God of timing. God is strategic. There have been times in my life where something catastrophic has happened and I've said, God, why now? As if there wasn't enough going wrong. And then only to go a day, two, maybe a week later and realize God knew that it was the right time. God knew that it was in the right season. Sometimes we often will buck the process with our flesh. Because we all so often, so many church people, you think you know so much more than God. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been in God, how much you utilize the gifts of the Spirit, pray in tongues, speak in tongues, all those things. I've watched people think they know more than God. And if we are not in tune with the Holy Ghost, flowing with the Holy Spirit, we'll get in those moments where we miss the timing of God. We miss the fact that he's a God that's operating in seasons. He's a God that is very strategic in what he does. There's sometimes people who say, pray for me about this, and my prayer may not be exactly like they may want it because I can sense that it's not time. I can sense that it's not strategic to the plan of God. Sometimes even in my own life, I'm not praying the way my flesh wants. God in this, God do this, God deliver this, because I know it's not time. I know that it's got purpose, and the purpose is to do something bigger and deeper in me. And when that's accomplished, God will do what he needs to do. Sometimes we often want the storm to go away, but the rain is essential. We oftentimes are praying, God, remove the storm, but we need the rain. We need the benefits that come along with that storm oftentimes in our life. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear. What am I saying? That it's possible that at times you and I don't cooperate with the season. What I found in my life is that it is possible, and I've seen it in my life, where I've been in a season that God is no longer in. Meaning that God's moved on. Much like we can do in the church where we're trying to get God to move like he used to move or the way he has always moved in our life, and God's not there. He's moved on. Because God wants you and I to grow and develop in him continually. And so I've had to learn that God is a God of seasons. God is a God of strategy. I've had to learn that there's times in my life when I'm getting frustrated and irritable about with people or with God or about my circumstances. I've had to really evaluate and say, God, are you in this? And sometimes the answer has been surprising to me that God has moved on and God's saying, come here. Because I missed him somewhere. I lost him somewhere. Just like we don't just stay and worship God the same way we used to. It matures and it grows. I pray that you're not worshiping God how you always have. I pray that you're not praying like you always have. Just as that matures and grows, so does our walk with God. And so sometimes we're trying to find God in something, in the midst of something, or see God move in a relationship or a financial problem the way he always has. When I was a young Christian, I would pray and ask God for a financial miracle and it would happen. But then God got me to a point where he began to teach me sowing and reaping. Which means it didn't just happen anymore. God began to ask something of me. And I began to learn that when I have a need, I needed to sow some seed. Because of how God operates. Which makes no sense to us in the natural. When you need money, why would you give money only to be short more money? There's a few reasons. If I was teaching on giving right now, I would give them to you. But the real reason, one of the greatest things I've learned, is that it's learning and acknowledging and showing God that you trust in Him as your provider above all else. That it's not what is in your checkbook, it's not even your employer or the amount of the paycheck you're expecting, but that above that, you're going to trust and rely on Him, saying, God, I'm going to write this check because I know that I have this need, but I'm trusting in You beyond what I'm expecting in my direct deposit, beyond a government stimulus check. And when I learn the power of that, I've learned that every time that my back gets against, maybe against a wall, I sow my way out of it. You give your way out of it. See, some of you are still battling financial problems because you have not learned the secret of giving, the power that is in giving. I'm not preaching on giving today. That just sort of came up for free. I share that with you. It's because God isn't moving in my life like He used to. He's grown me to the place where now other people will say, how do you believe God for such amazing things? How can you do what you do? Other pastors will say, it baffles my mind. You know, one lady told me the other day, I don't know how your church does all it does. You guys aren't like a mega ministry. How do you do all you do? Our church may get like $30 in the offering. Faith. And because we sow, we give as a ministry. We don't just give to missions. We give to our community. We give food. We give clothes. We clothe the poor and feed the hungry, right? But in addition to that, we sow into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Understanding that God is not working where He used to work in my life. God doesn't want me, and He doesn't want even this ministry to operate in a give me, Jimmy mentality. God has worked to develop and change us and to grow us. And to the degree that we've believed God for buildings and schools and property and all of those things, He started getting us to believe for carpet. To the degree that now we believe for total buildings and total properties. To now we believe for millions. To where I told the church a few weeks ago, I said, now we're going to start believing for properties around this building. So we can renovate houses just to give people. Just to be an example of the kingdom of God, the love of God here on this earth. I know that shock a lot of people, but what good is it if we, the church, can't really be the church and demonstrate and help people and sow into their lives and sow into the single mother who's got three kids and the dad left or whatever, and she's doing everything she can to go further in life. She needs to know that someone believes in her. She needs to know that God loves her, that God is good, and that God has a plan for her life. And so God changes us and grows us to where He's not where we used to be. When you and I were first a Christian, we may have had a really hard time believing God for that. But now that you and I have grown, and if you're a new Christian, you might think that guy has lost his mind. No, I've just seen what God is able to do. Beyond giving, I've seen God heal. I've watched literal grows on people's face fall off. I've watched legs grow. I've watched God bring people out of wheelchairs. I've watched God do extraordinary and extreme things. And so I know what God is able to do. And so when God says to me that there is a suddenly that is happening in the body of Christ, I know that that is true. I know that God is interested in operating in a realm and a place in Him that you have not yet seen. God wants to take you and I deeper and further. God wants to demonstrate His power in a brand new way. God wants to be able to, God wants to be seen in such a way that everyone that knows you will know that it was only God was able to do what happens in your life. People that have seen you suffer in pain, God wants them to be able to see that it had to have been Him that delivered and touched and healed you. God wants the people that know you to know how desperately you've suffered financially, to know that when God brings forth financial blessing, they're going to step back and say, that had to have been God, because I know what situation they've been in. I know they live on a fixed income. There's no other way that it could have been anything else other than God. What I believe and what I hear in the midst of all that I hear God saying, even through this word, is that God's saying, I've moved. And what I see so many times, and I get frustrated with preachers, I get frustrated with even evangelists, fivefold ministers, who are still trying to get God to move where he did. When God's saying, I've moved, I've changed. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but I'm thankful that his mechanisms, the methods that often he uses will progress. I hear the Lord moving, and why is he saying that? Because you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins, the Bible says. God's wanting to do something totally brand new. God doesn't want you and I stuck in rituals and routines. God doesn't want us to do things the way that we've always done them. But the Bible says that his mercies are new every day. We need to just welcome and say, God, I thank you today that your mercies are new every day. Meaning that we can just begin to embrace and welcome whatever God has in store today. That whenever I woke up this morning and my feet hit the ground, I want all of hell to shake and tremble. Because not just because of who I am walking in the authority of Jesus Christ, but I want hell to tremble and hell to walk in fear because I have an understanding that his mercies are new every day. Meaning I have a brand new, fresh understanding and encounter in my power and my authority as a believer. But they also have a deeper revelation of who he is. That God's about to do a new thing. That God is a restorer. That God is a deliverer, that God is a healer, that he wants to show himself strong. I wish some preachers would understand that God wants to show himself strong in our churches. His word says that we become a living epistle of God. That we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Remember, I shared that moments ago. That word testimony means evidence. Think about it this way. It is the evidence of God in your life that makes people become an overcomer. It is the evidence that has been in my life that has caused other people to reach out to God. It is the evidence in my life that has caused other people to get the courage and to get the faith stirred up in them enough to get up and try again. It is the evidence in your life. That's why it's important that you and I tell of the goodness of God. It's important that you and I tell about what God is doing, not just in a church service, but what God is doing in you. The greatest testimony you and I will ever have is not telling people how many people fell out under the power of God and how many were filled with the Holy Spirit, because the non-believer doesn't fully understand that. But they do understand the evidence that you provide, showing them how you are different from the inside out. Showing them that how God has changed you and developed you, offering up evidence. That's why when they went to crucify Jesus, the Bible says that they also wanted to kill Lazarus. Remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And they didn't just want to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Because Lazarus was example. He was evidence of resurrection power. See, they were afraid that if Jesus were to die and the evidence stayed there, there would still be resurrection life. What am I trying to tell you? Is that the enemy wants to kill the evidence of God being magnified. When we were singing that old worship song, Majesty, Worship His Majesty, earlier, I don't dive into those very often, but once in a while when the Holy Spirit urges, we just go for it. We were just magnifying and lifting up evidence. My life itself is evidence of who God is. Haven't always been right. Haven't always done everything right. Right? So a lot of those things are public knowledge. Right? But my very life, I'm not walking in shame. I'm saying my life is evidence. My life is evidence of what God can do. People that you go to high school with and they see you now and they're like, how'd you ever become a preacher? Evidence. Evidence. It's evidence of who God is. And the enemy, hear what I'm saying to you. The enemy wants to kill all evidence of God being magnified. Man, I'm not going to be able to get halfway through this word today. The enemy wants to kill all evidence of God being magnified. The fact that I'm alive is evidence. The fact that I walk is evidence. After a couple back surgeries and all the pain that I've experienced and things, and my second surgery, the doctor said, you were a miracle. Your spine is in two pieces. How did you walk in here? Evidence. They were wiggling my spine like this. Evidence. My left leg used to go so numb, I would limp and walk with a cane all the time. Until one night, we were just in a worship service. Sunday night worship, and the anointing and the power of God was strong, and there was a lot of people getting healed that night, and I could feel it. I could punch my leg like I'm doing right now, and I could barely feel it. I could get stung with a bee and not know it. There would be times I'd get cut and not know it, till I looked down and realized I got blood running down my leg because I couldn't feel. It's evidence. And the enemy works in our life. Some of you are frustrated right now. Some of you are overwhelmed right now. Some of you are under attack so much right now because the enemy wants to kill the evidence of God being magnified in your life. But God wants to show evidence in your life that He's a healer. God wants to show evidence in your life that He's a provider. God wants to show evidence in your life that He can remove a bad credit report. God wants to show evidence in your life that He can take every cancer cell away. God wants to show evidence in your life that He is the absolute deliverer. God wants to provide that kind of evidence. And He wants to do it in you suddenly. Right now. In this moment. I wanted to get into Luke chapter 6. But I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to have to hold it for next week. I did a powerful message once, and that's the reason I wanted to bring it up. On this man's hand that Jesus talks about in Luke 6. And Jesus calls him to the front. And I'll end with this, and I'll have to pick up with this miracle next week. Jesus calls him up front, and the man's hand is withered. Unable to use it. And it wasn't just his hand. The Bible says it was his right hand. And there's two things that are really powerful about that text. Two things that are really powerful. One, his hand means power. Hand, the real meaning of it means power. But being that it was his right hand was his authority. Right means authority. God wanted to restore not just the man's hand, but God wanted to restore his authority, and God wanted to restore his power. I believe that in this moment right now that God wants to restore the church's authority and the church's power. That man that Jesus healed that day, it was as if he had the hand. The Bible says he had the hand. It was there. It was just withered. Wasn't functioning. How many of you know what it's like in this life to have things that aren't functioning? You can have a mind, but sometimes it's not functioning right. You get confused. You get weary. You start struggling. Or you can have a vehicle, but it ain't running. You can have a lawnmower, but it keeps messing up. You can have a smartphone, but it ain't acting very smart. Those are things that are frustrating. This man had a hand that he saw everyone else use theirs and be able to eat right and to be able to get a drink of water and to be able to worship God right and everything, but he had a hand that was withered. And that day, Jesus called him to the front of that synagogue. Because he knew the religious people were about to get really irritated and irate. Remember, the Bible says that he knew their thoughts. But he called him up anyway. He said, I want you to come up here where I am because I want everyone to see what I'm about to do. You see, the reason that you've been going through all that you've been going through, I believe even right now, the reason that we as a nation, we as church people, specifically as Christians, are going through what we're going through is because God is saying, come here. I want everyone to see what I'm about to do. Just like the man with the withered hand. I'm going to restore your power. And I'm going to restore your authority. We'll pick up with that next week. But I want us to end this moment together before we log off and we go about our day. And we're going to close in a moment. And as we close, we're going to ask everybody that's online today, go to the website, give your tithes, give your offerings. Make sure you send in your prayer requests while you're there. Be patient with us as we upgrade and update the site. It's still under construction, so you'll see parts are changed, parts are not. But I want, as we close today, I want to be able to pray that today God would begin a suddenly in your life. That God would begin to do something suddenly. Just like this man with the withered hand. That God would do it now so that, why? So that others can see what God would do. Even right now, as I am sharing with you and we're about to close, some of you have experienced the presence of the Lord this morning in your home. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you're getting yourself ready for the day. Maybe you're eating your breakfast. God wants to restore to you right now in this moment. And I want us to pray together. I want us to believe together that God would do a suddenly in your life right now. That there would be a radical move of God in your life right now. Hallelujah. Right now. Hallelujah. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of healing. He's a miracle-working God. And I want us to believe God together right now that God would restore to you, just like the man with the withered hand, that God would restore to you everything that's been taken, everything that's been lacking. Every part of your life that's been affected because the enemy has tried to attack and take your evidence, it's coming back to you. It's coming back to you right now. If you'll just believe God. Pray with me. Let's believe God. Father, I thank you. I thank you today for your word. I thank you that God today, I know that you're speaking to somebody today. You're speaking to somebody. Somebody somewhere, God, is receiving from this word today. The God you're about to do is suddenly in their life. God, you're about to do something extraordinary, extreme. God, you're about to restore the evidence that has been taken, that has been removed, that has been hindered in their life. That God, that you will get the glory, you will get the honor. Father, I thank you today that the things in our life that have been withered and hindered, like this man in the text, that God, his hand was withered for many years. But Lord, you brought restoration. You restored it. You brought it back again to its original form, to its original creation. God, there are things that you're going to bring back again in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the devil. We rebuke the attack of the enemy over our evidence, over our faith, over our mind, over our peace, over our joy, over our relationships, over our finances. In the name of Jesus. Every place that the enemy has attacked our evidence, we rebuke you, you foul devil. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that, Father, today you're going to begin to do a suddenly in our lives. You're going to begin to do it right now, just as on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there was a radical, powerful move of God. Today, God, let there be a radical, powerful move of God. Do supernatural things now in the lives of people as they're worshiping you, as they're crying out to you, as we've called upon your name today, as we've gotten into your word today. That, Lord, when Pentecost Sunday rolls around, 4 weeks, we're going to experience true, absolute Pentecost. Not what we like to call today is Pentecost, but what true, genuine, absolute Pentecost is. That we'll experience it. We'll flow in it. We'll be empowered by it. We'll be liberated by it. We'll be touched by it. We'll be healed by it. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, O God, today. Father, do miraculous things. Now, Father, we're going to log off. We're going to go about our day. Father, I pray people that are going to the website, giving tithes, giving offerings, sowing a special seed. Maybe they were spoken into in some special way. God, I pray as they go to the website that, God, you will bless it. You will multiply it. You will bring increase to their life. As your word declares, God, give and it will be given to us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. God, open the windows of heaven. Pour out over their life today as they give to support the kingdom of God. Right now, the work of the kingdom on this earth. I thank you and I praise you for it. God, do amazing supernatural things in their life today. Let them begin to see, God, you doing suddenlies in their life starting right now. I thank you that, God, that they're going to get off of this live stream today, and, God, they're going to begin to see some suddenlies. They're going to wake up tomorrow and see a suddenly. That, God, they're going to go throughout their day tomorrow and begin to see another suddenly and another. They're going to see you working and turning things around for your good, God, for to offer up as evidence, oh, God, in who you are. Now, God, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. We celebrate you, great God that you are, sweet King of kings and Lord of lords. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We bless you. We glorify your great name today as we lift you up. We thank you, God, for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. Have your way in our lives. God, bless your people today. May they experience your presence and your power and your wonderful way today and in the days ahead. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus, your mighty and powerful name, amen and amen. Friends, if you haven't given yet and you want to give, go to the website, freshfirechurch.net. You can give right there. If you need to mail it in, you can do that. The mailing address is right on our Facebook page as well, under About. Or if you go to our website, freshfirechurch.net, our mailing address is there as well if you prefer to mail it. But we appreciate you giving. We appreciate you connecting with us. We thank you for watching today. We pray that in some way you were ministered to, spoken to, encouraged, leaving, clicking off, ready to believe God for something more, ready to see us suddenly in your life. Friends, we love you. We're praying for you. Pray for us this week as we prepare some more outreaches and food distributions and record some TV programs and so much more. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for supporting us and being there today. Friends, we love you. And as I say, when I end every television program, until next time, we pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends. We love you.